Okay, so we were starting, just getting started, the topic of getting married, and the we it's a very well, we have a Mishnah that tells us when you get married. The Mishnah says ben yurches l'chuppah. Oh, perfect timing, Yoni. Here, watch this drink over here. Yoni, do you hear us? Because about to mamish get into it. All right, hopefully Yoni hears us. So the Mishnah says ben yurches l'chuppah. You get married at 18. Okay, sounds like a pretty, okay statement. Not much to do with that. But I don't think anyone we know got married at 18. Do you know anyone got married at 18?
No.
No. Anybody here know anyone who got married at 18?
Okay, Persian girl.
Okay, a Persian girl. Rav Nevinsal actually got married at 18. Or no, he did not get married at 18, but he insisted that his kids get married at 18. And his kids and grandkids, many of them have gotten married at 18. So he says to follow, he says you absolutely should follow the Mishnah. Now, does anybody have any questions on this Mishnah? I'm sure you're free to speak up. They can hear you. Question, Jack, Daniel, a question on the Mishnah. Anything that strikes you as strange? Ben yurches l'chuppah.
Why 18?
Why 18? Okay, but what should it be?
I don't know.
What would you have thought? What would you have thought to say?
13.
Oh, says Yoshua. I don't know if you're able to hear, but Yoshua says, I would have thought 13. Why would you think 13?
That's when you're chay of mitzvos, mitzvot peruvu.
Oh,
one of
them. Oh, says Yoshua, that very good. Did you learn Shulchan Aruch Ebn Ezra with the commentaries?
I'll answer.
Okay, very good. So Yoshua asked the question that the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch asked, and that is the following: that the mitzvah of getting married is very linked with the mitzvah of having children. In fact, there's a machlokes Rishonim whether there is a mitzvah to get married. Some Rishonim say there's no mitzvah to get married. It's just the method by which you should have children. Others say, no, there's an independent mitzvah to get married. But be that as it may, it's very linked to the mitzvah of having children. And so says Yoshua, the mitzvah of having children should be like any other mitzvah in the Torah. And every other mitzvah in the Torah, what age do we start doing mitzvahs? We start doing mitzvahs at 13. So why is it that for this mitzvah, we delay and we don't wait till 13? Why don't we get married at 13? Do you have an answer to your question also?
I'll let you say the answer.
Let me say the answer. How about Jack or Daniel? You have an answer.
Probably most simply because people aren't ready.
People aren't ready? Ready why? In what way?
Maybe they haven't fully developed their personalities or their maturity, even their learning to be able to live a life with someone and actually raise children at the age of 13.
Okay, very good. So that is a combination. The main Mefarshim say that it's really the learning. And in fact, the Mishnah, anybody know what else appears in that Mishnah, Ben Yurches L'Chuppah?
All the different ages for learning.
Oh, says Yoshua, all the different ages for learning. It's a Mishnah Perkei Avos. It says, Ben Chamesh L'Mikro. When you're 5, you learn Tanakh. When you're 10, you learn Mishnah. When you're 15, you learn Gemara. Okay, it's a question why we don't exactly follow that. Maybe we do. Maybe it has to do with the style of learning. But either way, that's a Mishnah talking about ages. The first three ages there are learning. And then we get to Ben Yurches L'Chuppah. We get to the age of 18. That is the time that you get married. So say the Mefarshim, if a person would get married at 13, he wouldn't have any Torah under his belt. You know, he learned a little Tanakh, started a little Mishnah. So what is he? He barely knows anything. How could he? So he can't get married. That's what the Mefarshim say. Jack, what Jack was saying, actually, the Pischei Tshuva is one of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, says that the Shulchan Aruch actually writes that if someone is capable of getting married at 13, that's ideal. That would be considered ideal to get married at 13 if you could do it. And the Pischei Tshuva writes, but you know, we don't do that nowadays. It says the Pischei Tshuva that people are, you know, they're not, he says they're not, I don't know if he means mature enough. He just says people don't have the right spirit to be able to get married at that young of an age, which is what Jack was saying before. And then, and Aruch HaShulchan picks up on this also, and he says not only about 13, but he says even the delay, as a general point, the reason we delayed 18 is not only the learning, but it's also the maturity and kind of the just strength, and I guess emotional strength and physical strength to be able to raise a family. But the main point seems to be learning. And the question is, why is that so central here? How is that really connected to the mitzvah of Puruvu? So this brings us to something very interesting. Now, I ask you, where in the Torah does it say that you should have children? Where is the mitzvah peruvu found?
In Bereishis.
It's found in Bereishis. Who is the mitzvah peruvu said to?
The animals, Adam and Chava.
The animals, Rashi says it's a bracha for the animals. There's a mitzvah to Adam and Chava, then a mitzvah to Noach again after the Mabul. So we have the mitzvah peruvu applying to everyone, not only the Jewish people. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that, in fact, the mitzvah peruvu was retaught after Matan Torah. That it was there before Matan Torah, but it was retaught after Matan Torah. And when it was retaught after Matan Torah, it at that point only applies to Jews and not to Goyim. Only Jews have the mitzvah of peruvu at that point. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk and Vaischanan that implies that there's a mitzvah after Matan Torah. Lechem or lechem shuvu lechem lo lechem. Go back to your tents. Go back to your wives and have children. So after Matan Torah, it only applies to the Jewish people. Like, what changed? What happened before that it was applying to everyone, and now it only applies to the Jewish people? So the explanation seems to be that the mitzvah of Purvu perhaps changed. Because the mitzvah of Purvu, pre-Matan Torah, why did God command Adam to have kids? Why did God command Noach to have kids? To populate the world. The world needs to be populated. There's a pasuk, in fact, in Navi that says, Ki lo lato bra l'sheva sitzara, that Hashem didn't create the world just to go to waste. Hashem created the world for it to be inhabited. So Hashem wanted the world to be inhabited. That's what it was pre-Matan Torah. However, once we have Matan Torah, once Hashem has given the Torah to the Jewish people, and we have this treasure to pass on to the next generation, the mitzvah of having children now becomes about passing on that Torah to the next generation. It's not simply about populating the world, but it's about passing on the Torah to the next generation. And that might explain, and probably does explain, why it doesn't apply to Goyim anymore. Because once there is a Jewish people, and once there's a Jewish people that has received the Torah, so now they have the mission of passing on the Torah to the next generation, and it doesn't apply to Goyim anymore because the mitzvah is no longer about simply populating the world, but it's about passing on that Mesorah to the next generation. And this can explain another interesting halacha, according to Rashi. How many kids are you supposed to have?
There's different opinions, either one boy and one girl, or two boys and one girl.
So Yeshua is holding, he's quoting us the Gemara Nivamas. The Gemara Nivamas has a machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, one boy and one girl, or maybe even two boys, a whole discussion. Maybe two boys and two girls even. But we paskin, like Beis Hillel, how do we paskin?
Boy and a girl.
Boy and a girl? Mitzvah, boy and a girl. Is that, what about, once you have a boy and a girl, you stop? That's it? No more mitzvah?
I think the Iker Chiyuv is covered, but it's still good to have more kids.
Still good to have more kids, says Yeshua. Anybody want to say more about that? Just a nice thing?
I think it's still the mitzvah of Peru. It's just like Yeshua is saying, it's not the Chiyuv anymore.
The Kiyam of Peru, not a Chiyuv. Interesting. Could be a nice lundus. So the Gemara in Yevamos has a very fascinating comment. The Gemara says that, quotes a pasuk in Koheles. So it's probably not a din min haTorah. The pasuk says in Koheles, "Baboker zerah zarecha," in the morning, plant your seeds. "V'la'erev al tanach yadecha," and don't let up by evening. And the Gemara dashes a few things and that says basically, even though you've accomplished something, don't stop there. Keep on going. The Gemara, most famously, has the story of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 students were killed, and the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva didn't say, "Oh, I already had students in my youth. I won't have more students." He said, "No, I'll have more. I'll keep on going with more students." So and that's what happened. All the students died, and then he went ahead and made five more students, and those students were the ones who made most of our Mishnah. So it was that was a tremendous attitude that Rabbi Akiva had. So the Gemara says, applies that to having kids as well. Now, why? What's the connection exactly? So some explain, okay, yeah, maybe your kids will die, so you should have more kids. And even though I said before, the truth is there is some link still to populating the world. If you don't have kids, that you haven't left kids that are alive, so then you haven't populated the world. So then you haven't done the mitzvah. So maybe, you know, kids might die just like the Talmidim or Rabbi Akiva, you know, died. So you should have more kids to cover yourself. But The Rambam says different idea. The Rambam says, you know, every person is a whole world, right? Because the Gemara, the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, you save one person like you save the whole world, because Adam Rishon was created and the whole world came from him. So every person is tremendous. You can build a whole world with every child that you have. That's what the Rambam says. There's a mitzvah, midrabanan, to have more kids to keep on, to build up the world. You have more and more worlds that you build with every child. That's what the Rambam says. But Rashi says a very interesting comment. Rashi says, in Yevamos, he says, what might happen? Your kids might go off the derech. He says, have more kids in case your kids go off the derech. Wow. Very powerful. So what does that mean? Like, what, you know, so it doesn't mean that if your kids go off the derech, you're not Mekayim Puruvu. You know, you've been Mekayim Puruvu. However, if what we're saying is true, that the main concept of having children is to pass on the Mesorah, we can understand very well where Rashi's coming from, that if we have kids that go off the derech, we may have technically fulfilled our mitzvah, but we're missing out on a lot of what it's about. And so that's why Rashi says it's kedai to have more and more children. So that's a very, very powerful, powerful Rashi. Now we're still a little stuck. So we explained why we didn't have to get married at 13. So good. You guys are all good. You didn't get married at 13. I didn't get married at 13. Really good, but why are you allowed to push on past 18? The Mishnah says, Ben Yuchas Chuppah. What right do you have to not get married at 18? Yeah, what do you say, Jack?
I would say, L'chachila, it's 18, but due to other circumstances, maybe like I've suggested before, we're allowed to push that off for shalom bias issues.
For your parents, you're saying?
Or even for yourself.
Well, you're going to have shalom bias with your wife.
Yeah. If you're not ready to establish proper shalom bias, then, you know.
So it's interesting. And it could be what you're saying is true. And I actually meant to look up the source before this year and I didn't look it up. But it could be what you're saying is very real. And in halacha, the only thing we find is the Gemara and Kiddushin, where the Gemara and Kiddushin says this Paschal and Shulchan Aruch, that the Gemara actually has a discussion whether you should get married at 18 and learn after, or maybe push off getting married, learn first and then get married later. And the Gemara says some places, it says, it depends where you are. It's Machlokes Rishonim above El Eretz Yisrael, but the bottom line is that what comes out from the Gemara is that if you can get married and then maintain your learning after, just go ahead and get married when you're younger and you'll learn after. If getting married is going to mean that you're going to have a lot of responsibility to support your family and other things, right? Yeshua, yeah, it's a big responsibility to get married. And it's sometimes it's hard to learn. It's not like when you're a bachur, you can sit and learn all day. So the Gemara says, if that's going to be your situation, better to learn first and push off getting married. And then, you know, you get married at a later date. And then we've shown them discuss how long should you push off? Certainly not if you're having hirhurim, if you're having a lot of thoughts about girls all the time. That's not a healthy thing to do. So if that's the case, then you should get married sooner. The Rishonim already talked about this. This is very real, real feelings. And, you know, obviously it's assuming you're doing well and you're learning. So that's what the Gemara says. Again, reasonable with what we've said so far. Here, the Rambam adds the concept of Oseg mitzvah, Patur ben mitzvah. If you're involved in the mitzvah of learning, you have the right to push off a mitzvah and fulfill it later. So you don't have to get married. You don't have to get married right away. So what about what Jack is saying? What about the fact that maybe, you know, your maturity and development, all those things? So it's not clear. In the Shulchan Aruch, it just says learning. Doesn't say going to college. Doesn't say making parnasa, even though you're supposed to make parnasa. That's for sure in Shulchan Aruch, but it doesn't say that. But it could be, in light of what we're saying, that there is something to that. The Gemara says in Sota, I believe, Gemara, this I didn't get a chance to look up, but the Gemara says that if there's shalom bias, now I forgot exactly how it's, I wanted to look it up, so I didn't, so I regretted not looking at it, but basically the Gemara says in Nida that there are shlosha shutvim ba'adam, the three partners in the creation of a child. There's the mother, father, and Hashem. And the Gemara talks about if there's shalom bias, so then the Shechina, the well-known Gemara, the shalom bias, that the Shechina is dwells amongst you. And I forgot exactly how the connection is made. Rav Yashiv, I saw quoted in the Sefer, Rav Yashiv said that we learn from this Gemara that the Kadosh Baruch Hu, in order to bring the Shechina, we need Shalom in the home. If there's no Shalom in the home, then we don't have Hashem's presence, or Hashem's presence is diminished in the home. And that the way Rav Eliashiv connects it is that that third component of Hashem is affected by the Shalom Bayis. The Shalom Bayis, it's not just that Shalom Bayis is important on a psychological level for children's development. Shalom Bayis, the contribution Hashem puts in is impacted by Shalom Bayis. And so, you know, it's very important to have a home in that way. That's like that. It's not, doesn't mean there are homes with Shalom Bayis that have problems, there are homes without Shalom Bayis that are wonderful children. But as a general approach, certainly one's attitude towards Shalom Bayis should include the fact that it's going to impact Hashem's contribution to the development of the child, the spiritual components of the child. And if that's true, and what we're saying is correct, that passing on the Masorah is the key feature of having children and raising a family, so then perhaps that's the basis for what Jack is saying, that we have to make sure that a person is at a place where they're going to be able to have that type of atmosphere. I didn't see this. This would be a chiddush, and I have to ask around a little bit about it, because it's an interesting thing. Again, the Gemara only says it there. The Gemara only says it by Talmud Torah, but it based on, we look around, we see that not everyone is always pushing off for learning, so I hope there's some justification for it. But based on what we're saying, it seems that it could be reasonable. So it could be that's the explanation for what Jack is saying. And in terms of how long, some Rishonim say till 24 is a max, some say later. But at the end of the day, the Gemara, some of the Rishonim, the Gemara talks about it being 20, and some Rishonim say that the Rosh says that by age 20, we force you better start dating or looking to get married.
Your bones was
fine. Well, the Gemara says that if you don't get married by 20, your bones, unclear what it means, something's gonna happen to your bones. But some Rishonim say that we force you to get married by 20. Now the Shulchan Aruch writes that we don't force people anymore. We don't do this. And the Shulchan writes, even if we did, we don't have the ability to force anybody, in our modern society. But we see that it's a very powerful point. Ad Kedei Kach, that Basin would really force a person to start looking for a wife in order to have children. There's a big discussion. There's interesting. Macholus Rishonim, is it considered a bittel mitzvah if you choose not to get married at 20? So what? So unclear is it, because maybe it's only a bittel mitzvah if you die without having children. So some Rishonim say though, if at age 20 you say I don't want to have kids, that's considered a bittel mitzvah. You did an avera even by making that decision. Not that you just waited on doing a mitzvah. So okay, we don't necessarily pass in that way, but we see that concept at play. Now, I just mentioned before last point here in terms of having children. So we talked about the mitzvah of Puravu. So the basic mitzvah in the Torah is a boy and a girl. That's going down from Adam Rishon, Adam and Chava, Hashem created Adam and Chava, boy and a girl, repopulates the world. And then we have the mitzvah of La'erev al Tanach Yadecha. Come late in the day, don't stop working, keep on going. So later in your life, keep on going, have more children. And we saw different explanations for why that is. The interesting question is what about choosing to push it off? So the Rambam talks about gets into this question. Let's say in the old days in the Gemara, but not even the Gemara's time. Let's say someone had to go away wants to go to yeshiva for 6 months to leave his family. Or I don't know, what else do people, whatever reason, someone leaves their wife for a long time, are they allowed to do that? Are they allowed to leave their wife? So the Rambam says, even though a wife from her, one of the obligations is to have marital relations with your wife. That's one of the obligations a man has to his wife, to provide that for her. So the Rambam says, even though a wife can forego this, in one way I could say, you know what, I'm okay, I give you permission, I'm mochel, you can go away for 6 months. The Rambam says, if you've not yet fulfilled pruervu, you can't go. Pruervu, you have to try. When you haven't had children, the Rambam says you have to regularly try to have children, to have relations with your wife so that you have children. So the question is, what happened to La'erev al Tanach Yadecha? Even if you did pruervu, you should be with your wife to have more kids, because there's a mitzvah to have more kids, as the Rambam himself writes. So some explain the Birkei Yosef is the chida, was the chief rabbi of Hebron in the 1700s, Sephardi. He has a commentary on Shulchan Aruch Birkei Yosef, and he writes that a person does not have a right to say, I'm not going to have children now. In normal circumstances, is that he said he can't just say, oh, you know what? I want to go somewhere. I want to go on a trip. I want to go. I don't want to have children. He's not supposed to. He can't do that. But if a person already had children, and now the only mitzvah in front of him is having the extra mitzvah of having more children, so there's room for him to say, for him and his wife together to decide, you know what, we have other needs, other endeavors right now, we're not going to have children. And so this becomes very relevant for the question of taking birth control, where when a couple practices birth control and does not have children, so the part of the discussion is where is the couple holding? Are they at the pru revu stage where they have a real obligation in that Torah that we said, according to some Rishonim, we force you to do? Or are we at the later stage where we're talking about having more children, which is a very nice thing and ideal, and it's a mitzvah mi divrei sovereign from the Navi, from the Megillas Koheles, but it's not the same level of chiyuv. Perhaps there's a little more room to be lenient at that point if there are other certain pressing needs. That's an important distinction. We're not talking about using birth control, but that's some of the consideration is we have a mitzvah, and when one uses birth control, they are essentially making a decision, I am not going to do a mitzvah. So it's a very heavy question. When does a person have a right to say, I'm not going to do a mitzvah? And when should a person be involved in the mitzvah? And part of the consideration is where are we, what mitzvah are we dealing with? Are we dealing with the mitzvah of Purvu? Are we dealing with the mitzvah of La'erev al-Tanach Yadav? Okay, so that's a little bit on when one is supposed to have children, why, and also a little bit on how many children. But any questions, comments, thoughts on what we said so far? Jack says thumbs up. Daniel, nothing. Okay, so I want to kind of like reflect for a second on what we just said. And in order to do that, I'm going to open with the opening words of the Shulchan Aruch Eben HaEzer. Eben HaEzer is one of the four Chalakim of Shulchan Aruch, the section that deals with family law and getting married. And what is the opening line? Now, you guys know, or Chaim, you learned. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Yiskaber Ka'ari, get up with energy. So there's some, you know, there are principles that the Shulchan Aruch opens with, the Sefer with, that kind of lays out what we're going to see. So what do we see here? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Chayav Kol Adam, Lisa Isha, every man is obligated to marry a woman. Why? Kidei lifros v'lirvos, in order to have children. V'chol misha ina osik v'peri v'riv, anyone who does not get involved in pru revu. Now, sometimes the person is an ones. They can't. There's certain people either can't get married or they don't find someone. It happens. But one who does not get involved in trying to do this, so it's ki'ilu shofich damim. It's like he murders. U'memayitas admus, and he reduces humanity. And this causes the Shechina to leave Israel. So wow, what a very, very powerful point the Shulchan Aruch writes. Then the Ramah continues, and this we didn't talk about, but the Ramah says, quoting the Gemara Nivamas, that if a person is not married, even if, let's say, he's older and he can't have children anymore, if a person is not married, he's lacking very much. A person who gets married is completed, is more whole. The Gemara says here, the Ramah writes, Hishari below bracha, he doesn't have bracha, he doesn't have Torah. He's quoting the Gemara, velo nikra adam, he's not called a man. So and the Gemara talks about how the idea that when you get married, your sins are forgiven. So getting married, irrespective of having children, is very important. But the Shulchan Aruch very clearly opens by saying, by talking about having children. And that's why you get married. So what does this mean? So this is a very powerful line I heard from an older friend of mine. His name is Michael Gibber. Probably none of you know him. But I remember I was talking to him when I was, I believe, right after Shana Aleph. I was talking to him, and he said, you got to realize this. You date to get married, you get married to have children. That was his line. I think I maybe even told you that line at some point. But you date to get married, you get married to have children. Well, the second part we've shown is pretty clear. You get married to have children. That's pretty clear in the Shulchan Aruch. You date to get married is also pretty clear if you think about what are the ramifications of dating a girl. I hope if you're dating someone, it's very tempting and very difficult. That should be a healthy relationship with a woman. That's not a very healthy thing when you're not married. So the one should be pursuing dating in the context of looking to get married. And as we've seen here, one looks to get married in order to have children. So that's a progression one has to consider and one should be thinking about as they head into that process. Yeshua is married here. Let's see if Yeshua has anything to say about this.
I don't want to disagree with the Shulchan Aruch.
Oh.
But I know that that's a major reason to get married, and that's obviously what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about over here. But I think it also says in Bereishis that it's not good for men to be alone. And we know that there's a concept of the ultimate goal in life is to get close to Hashem. And when the relationship between a man and a woman is helping a person understand the relationship between men and Hashem on a different level. So even if someone isn't able to have kids, I think it's kedai to still get married so they can
grow. No question. That's what I mentioned. That's the Ramah. The Ramah says there's no question that a person, even if he can't have kids, even if he's older and already had kids and is not an age to have kids, he's supposed to get married.
And just like my own personal experiences, I worked on myself a lot before getting married. I was in age for 5 years. And just in the past 9 months I've been married, I've grown more than my entire life
together.
Like a whole other level.
No question. There's no question. That, and that's part of what the Gemara is saying, that a person becomes whole because, and this I always tell, when I taught Chassanim, I always say this point. You take, when you get married, you take a man and a woman, totally different genders, different personalities, different background, different family. Now you put them close together in the closest relationship. You have to, there's a lot, it takes a lot of, I don't like using work. It's not like painful or it's not like a burden. It's exciting work, but it's a lot of work to figure out how to make that work, how to make that jive, because it's very challenging. And that anytime you need a struggle for something and you need to work on something, you grow, right? Of course, the classic thing, Jack, you're a weightlifter. Yes. No.
Yes.
Jack's a weightlifter. Used to be. He's retired from weightlifting. Yeshua.
Oh, wow.
Yeshua, can't believe it. So Jack, so tell us, I lifted weights for like 5 minutes in like eighth grade, but in ninth grade. So Jack, tell me, if you lift weights and you don't feel pain, is that a good sign or a bad sign for your weightlifting? If you don't feel a little burn, not pain, burn, like a little burn.
It's a bad sign. It means you're not pushing yourself to become
you're not pushing yourself.
Stronger.
There you go. It
means that Shia is not in the room.
So you're not pushing yourself. So when you get married, if the fact that there is that tension, that is exactly the indication that you're growing. So there's no question you're sure what you're saying is true. And there's no question a person, even if he can't have children, should get married. And they're mindless of getting married. No question about it. And I should also add, we mentioned it, made this point before. Like we talked about a person learning, right? We said if he wants to learn, but if he has hirhurim, he's having thoughts about women. And even worse, he's doing the wrong thing. He's doing averos with women. Certainly he should get married. No question about it. And it could be in that situation, I've heard that big post can say, and the line I heard, there's a different shulchan aruch for Bali Tshuva. And on this topic of birth control, if it's Bali Tshuva, and we're all Bali Tshuva to a certain degree, we all grew up a certain way. So it's very hard to maintain, to be shomer negia, to stay away from girls, to be shomer bris. These are very, very challenging things. And it could be that even though in shulchan aruch it's very clear, you get married to have children. There's no question that's shulchan aruch is saying. But it could be there are other considerations, and one would say to someone who's getting married, they're not ready. Maybe in going to Jack's point, they're not ready. They're not mature enough to have children. But it's very important for them to get married, because if they don't get married, they're going to go. They may go off the derech, be carried away by that temptation. Maybe it's healthy for them to get married. That might be a reason to take birth control. So I'm not. The topic is not birth control. And there's no single sock on birth control. Every person has to ask an individual shaila. And if we're talking about birth control, just I'll make it the mushel. If you we see right here the language of Shulchan Aruch. This is a very serious halachic question. It's a very serious spiritual question. Whoever does not get involved in having children, it's like he murders, he reduces humanity, and he causes the Shekhinah to leave the Jewish people. That's pretty serious, position on one who doesn't try to have children. That being said, there are situations where it's not advisable. And you know, when you're dealing with serious questions, like you have a serious medical issue, you try to find the best doctor around to get the best medical consultation. So we have a serious spiritual issue right here. We must find the best spiritual doctor or advisor, biggest Talmud Chacham, who we trust and knows us, and to get a psak on these areas. It's not, just do this and do that. This is a weighty question. So yes, there are a lot of factors at play, but I would say if there were no other considerations, this is definitely what the Shulchan Aruch prescribes. The person dates to get married because they have to date to get married, and they get married to have children, and that's what we see here. And again, even if you're in one of those unique situations where it would be advisable not to have children right away, that doesn't take away from this perspective, the hashkafa that the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch gives us. And so that's something important to consider. And I want to just continue on that theme and kind of go back. We said we date to get married, we get married to have children. Now, and maybe let's say it this way. You date to get married, you get married to have children. Even if you're going to delay having children, you still get married to have children. It might not be immediate, but you're getting married to raise a family. And this is one of my Rebbeim, big influence of my Rebbeim, Daniel Kalish from the Waterbury Yeshiva. So Rabbi Kalish always likes to say, he said, what is our tachlis in life? Our tachlis is to raise a family, and I love this line, of loyalists to Hashem. Or if we're in the Aish language, we'll have to say loyalists to the Almighty. But, but I think Renoch would like that, loyalist to Hashem. I think he would like that description. And that's, you know, we want to, that's our goal. That's what, as we talked about, yes, we get married to have children. Doesn't say this in the Shulchan Aruch, but it's a given, seeing everything that we've seen, that we get married to have children, to raise children that are loyalists to Hashem, to pass on the Mesorah to them. And in fact, we find by Avram Avinu, so Hashem says he loves Avram Avinu. Why does he love Avram Avinu? Who remembers? Daniel, Parshas Vayera? Why does Hashem love Avram Avinu? So the Pasuk says, Ki in Perek Yurches Pasuk Yutes, Ki Yidativ. Now it means I know, but Rashi says it's a lashon chiba. This is a language indicating affection. So I have affection and feelings for you, says Hashem. And this is the context, by the way, it's when he wants to destroy stone. He says, how could I not tell Avram? Avram's so wonderful. I better tell Avram about my plans about stone. So he says, Ki yidativ leman, why? Why you gotta hear this, Yoshua, before you check that? Asher yitzave as banav as beso acharav v'shamru derech Hashem. He says, because he will command his children and his family after him to keep the path of Hashem, to do tzedakah and to do mishpat. That's what he said. That's why Hashem says, I love you, Avram Avinu. I have to tell you my secrets. I have to tell you my plan. It's dumb. Because I know that you are going to pass on the tradition to follow the way of Hashem, to be a loyalist to Hashem, to the next generation. And so this is, we get married to have children. Yeah, there's certainly other things that are gained. You know, and Rav Berkowitz once said, I think it was your year, Daniel, but I don't know if you guys are there. Rav Berkowitz, now. Yeah.
I just have to go to Mincha, but thank you so much for this. Very insightful.
Don't forget it. All right.
Thank you.
Wait, last, can I say one more thing? You have 30, 10 seconds? Listen to this. Sure, very quick, 10 seconds. The decisions you make now will impact what this looks like. Think about that. The people you hang out with, the girls you meet, the places you go, things you value, all that will impact what that looks like when you get married. And so it's important to keep that in mind at this young stage in life. Okay, God, daven a good milcha, daven for all of
thank
us.
Thank you.
And pleasure to meet you, Jack. And send me back to Rabbi Greenberg next time you
will
see
do. Will do.
Okay. So,
bye, Jack.
So we have, so Daniel, we can finish this last point. By the way, this pasuk over here, both Rav Asher Weiss says, the Meshech Chachman just writes that this is the source of educating our children, of chinuch. Even though we find in the Gemara in a lot of places that chinuch is midrabanan, the Gemara says, that's only the formal actions of midrabanan. But for sure, there's a mitzvah in our Torah to educate our children, to be mechanach our children. That's right here. This is the source, says the Meshech Chachman. Rav Asher Weiss says it a little differently. Rav Asher Weiss writes in his Sefer, on Chumash, that we have, there's a concept of ratzon haTorah. That Hashem doesn't always tell us directly, oh, I give you a command to do this. But sometimes we understand from the stories of the Torah, from other mitzvahs of the Torah, we understand what is the Hashem's ratzah. And that's a status of Daraisa. Because the Gemara says, his main example for this, the Gemara says, Tzar Bali Chaim is Daraisa. So this is a Daraisa to make animals suffer. What's the source? Where did it say in the Torah you can't make animals suffer? Anybody?
I think something about being like being holy like Hashem. And Hashem is merciful, so we're supposed to be merciful.
Oh, so that's one idea. Daniel, anyone, you have another source? Yeah, from Berkowitz. Okay, so Berkowitz is quoting one of the Mishnah. I don't remember which one. There are about 15 explanations in the Mishnah and Achronim what the source is for Tzar Bali Chaim. Like, what's the job with that exactly? So Rashi says, no. There are 15 indications in Tanakh that we're not supposed to make animals suffer.
Oh, wow.
Some are stories. For example, the Torah talks about the donkey of Bilam. Oh, there's a story. I forgot. It was a story about Bilam's donkey. I don't remember that story. Some of them are stories, and some of them are other mitzvahs. For example, there's a mitzvah. If you see an animal with a big weight on its back, you're supposed to help the person out to reduce the weight on the animal's back. That's a mitzvah. That's a specific mitzvah. But we see what's behind that mitzvah is you can't have the animal suffering. So the 15 different sources being holy, I think that is one of them, but that's just an indication of what we're supposed to, what Hashem's ratzon is. So that's the source of ratzon atar. That's the source, that's Tzar Bali Chaim Daraisa. There's no specific command, but it's the ratzon atar. He says the same thing about chinuch. Doesn't say anywhere in the Torah, educate your children. Let's say you're supposed to teach your children Torah, okay? What we mechanech, right? There's a pasuk in Navi Chanocha Na'al Pidarko, but that's a pasuk in Nach, Mishle, I believe. That's not a story. Is that Daraisa? So he says, no, but we see right here, if Hashem says, I love Avram because he's going to pass on the Masorah to his children, obviously that is something Hashem wants us to be doing. So that goes to our point. And so we want to raise a family of loyalists to Hashem. And that's what I just said very quickly. But I'll say just expound upon a little bit more about the decisions we make. Yehoshua is a fine example of this, you know, and it doesn't have to be this way. There are many ways to get to the tachlis, but you make a decision to surround yourself, to leave sometimes a certain chevra, to live in a certain place. Daniel is another example. Daniel's living by yeshiva, even though he's in city college, but he's living by the yeshiva. And he puts himself in an atmosphere and he sits in a base medrash and has friends that are B'nai Torah. So that has an impact on who you end up marrying. And then, and for anyone listening to the recording, I was talking to one of your friends. I won't say who, but I was talking to one of the guys about this. If you're listening, you probably know who I'm talking about, but you guys, no one else knows. But I was talking to one of the guys, and that the decisions that you make in terms of where you live, and you know, this will have an impact on who you marry, and impacting who you marry is so big because we just said this is our mission in life, to raise a family of loyalists to Hashem, to have children. The Shulchan Aruch Ezer, family law begins with having children, and we, as we explained, having children is having children to pass on the Masorah to. So it's such a massive, it's such an important decision we make in life, and we have to realize that the decisions we make beforehand leading up to that will have a major impact. And I've seen this, you know, you see this for negative and positive. I remember there's a guy in YU, and he, you know, he just, whatever, I don't know if he went to a certain camp. I don't remember what it was. It was a certain chevra. And the guy, you know, he's still a good guy, but he married a girl that was not fit for his standards of what he was looking in terms of raising his family. I mean, I don't know. I haven't been in touch with him in a long time, but I remember it struck me was that we were at a, there was a Q&A once, and he started asking, like, what happens if you're dating a girl and she's not really so tsanua, and she doesn't, you know, she doesn't cover this and do that. And there isn't really an answer, you know, like it's not ideal. And, but sometimes the decisions we make beforehand position us into that decision of who we marry or who we meet, which will then lead our raising our family in a certain way. It's very powerful. And the very last part, and I may have said this in shir to you guys, but it's worth repeating. The Gemara says that that Haman were the descendants of Arpah. Now, who was Arpah? Arpah, I believe it was, I think it's Haman. can't think of someone. So the descendants of Arpa. Now, who is Arpa? Arpa, going back to the story of Rus. So Rus and Arpa were married to two Jewish men, the sons of Naomi. They went to Moab, and the sons died. And then Naomi says, okay, I'm going to go back to Israel. I'm going to go back. My sons died here. I don't have anything here. And she says to Rus and Arpa, they're Moabi princesses. You know, you should go back. It'll be better for you in Moab. You know, don't come with me to Israel. I'm poor. I'm a widow. Stay in Moab. And Arpa says, oh, okay, fine. You know, I'll stay. And Ruth says, no, I'm going with you. And that's famously, she says, Amecha mi elokai elokai, which Chazal say was her conversion or Kabbalah's mitzvah. She converted at that time into being Jewish. And so, okay, so that's what she said. Now, that decision, that was not, you know, you wouldn't look at Arpa and say she's a bad person. She, you know, she had permission from her mother-in-law. She had no obligation to go with her mother-in-law. And she's going back to her life, you know, to her life in Moab. And Rus took a step forward and said, you know what, I'm going to go with you. And I'm committed and I'll even convert. And at that time, the gap between them didn't seem so dramatic. But so I heard from Rabbi Chaim Angel, Tanakh teacher at YU. He said, let's say when you have a little mathematics, all right, Daniel's the most closest one to college than us, right? So if you have angles, you study math in college. A little math. So you have an angle, right? So a small angle at the beginning, but it's a straight line that goes forever. Over time, the lines become separated, become very, very far apart from each other. So we can make a very small angle, right? A 1 degree angle, very small difference. But as time goes on, that difference, the gap, keeps on widening. And so it's so important to make decisions now. You know, okay, if she was married already, but we won't say, you know, Baruch Hashem is married to a Bas Torah, and we'll Be'ezer Hashem raise a family, B'shal Tov Mitzlachas, in the Derech HaTorah. But for all those listening, and Daniel, okay. But for all those listening, you know, the decisions we make now are critical in terms of this mission in life, and it's important to position ourselves appropriately so we can be followers of Avraham Avinu, be loved by Hashem, to pass on the tradition to our children, get married, to have children, and raise them in the path of Torah and Yerushalayim.